As Chris said, I'm Tim. I'm from the organisation Make Jesus Known. I head that up. We're based in Oldham, just down the road next door to Park Cakes, which is a dangerous place to have your office every morning smelling chocolate brownies. So we've been there for 2.5 years. Before that, we were based in Salford. I guess, as our name suggests, Make Jesus Known, because that's what we're about. Our heart is to share Jesus with people, because we know that Jesus works, don't we? Like that song we just heard there, it's Jesus that changes lives. There's nothing and no one else like Jesus to change the damaged and a broken, messed up life, is there? Nothing else can do it. Do you know that? Three people are nodding. You know, it's kind of, Alison knows that. There's nothing like Jesus. And sometimes we need to remember that. We need to be reminded. I guess that's my message this morning, is to remember there is no one and nothing like Jesus to change lives. To regain that confidence in the person of Jesus and his power. Now, for the last 8 years of Make Jesus Known, we've seen God do some incredible things. But it's quite simple, really. I think if we do what this book tells us to do, that's the Bible, it's not the Quran. If we do what this book tells us to do, God will do what he says he'll do. But the trouble is, so often we expect God to do the incredible stuff we read about in here, but we don't want to keep our end of the bargain by doing what he tells us to do. So it's really simple. I've found that as we step out and do what he says, as we've gone into high schools doing missions, as we've done youth events in Oldham and elsewhere, we've got a big trailer stage, as we've done stuff in Party in the Parks all over the country, as we've been into Europe, into Asia, as we've done stuff on the streets in Manchester City Centre, I've seen time and time again the person of Jesus is powerful and he's working in people's lives. You know, it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 5, Paul says this: when we brought you the good news, it wasn't just with words, but a demonstration of God's power. You know what? Too often, our witnessing is just talking. People are fed up of us just sharing words. They need to experience a demonstration of God's power. They need to experience the love of God that the Bible talks about, how wide and how deep that is. And we've seen, as we've demonstrated God's power, people go from hardened atheists to full-on believers. So we were in a high school not too far away in Oldham, doing a week there with the band Crossfire we used to have, doing assemblies, lessons. Then we did a concert end of the week, had like 150 kids. About 120 responded, said they wanted to know about following Jesus. And there was a girl there with flat feet. And I had I felt a word of knowledge to share with her, to say, you know what, I believe there's someone here tonight who's got back pain, God wants to heal you. This girl comes up to me, she's only 14, 15, and says, I've got flat feet, I've got knee pain and back pain. I've had my entire life, it's chronic pain, because of the flat feet. Because obviously she's not walking properly. She's got the insoles in her feet, but still she's got this pain. So she asked me to pray for her. And that's when rubber hits the road, isn't it? It's easy to say, yeah, we believe that God, you're going to do what you say you're going to do. We're going to do what you want us to do. Oh, hang on, actually pray for someone. You're joking, aren't you? So we prayed for her. I didn't do anything special. I didn't put on a white suit with a dove on and say, ooh, ooh. Just prayed for her to be healed in Jesus' name. And before my very eyes, arches grew in her feet. She'd taken her shoes off, said, I can feel some heat. Arches grew into her feet. Her friends were all blown away. Her parents even wrote into the school because of what had happened to say, thank you for coming to our school to share Jesus with our daughter. We run a youth event called Overload at Ale Mill, which is where we're based, next door to Park Cakes. Had about 200 young people come to an event just before Christmas. I reckon about 10 of them were from churches in Oldham. So the other 190 are kids we'd met through doing stuff in high schools who had no church contact, who had no concept of Christianity. Around about 170 of them responded to the challenge to give their heart to Jesus. You can have a small smile on your face for that. 170 young people who don't know Jesus encountered him and said, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want him to be number one. And then they came back in. We had a bit of a celebration of following Jesus, because obviously it tells us that there's a party in heaven. And I said, well, we need to have a party down here if God's having a party. And then in the midst of all that, just this thought God planted in my head, I'm going to heal someone with a broken hand tonight. I thought, oh no, I'm going to have to say it in front of stage. I said, there's someone here with a broken hand. I believe God wants to heal you. There's a girl there with her hand bandaged up. She's obviously, her jaw hits the floor. How does he know that about me? I said, I don't know anything about you. This is God we're talking about here. We've just talked about Jesus being powerful. You've said you want to give your life to him. Now he's going to prove it. So she gets on the stage in front of 200 teenagers. I'm thinking, God, this is going to go really well or really badly for both you and me here. We pray for her, and she's like, I can't believe it. The pain is just gone. I couldn't bend my fingers. Now I can. She took the bandage off. She said, my hand is healed. The whole place went electric. I felt like I was in Africa. 200 teenagers shouting out, Jesus! Her whole group of friends came to Jesus as a result. They're all in a church in Manchester. We had young people going home saying, I'm going to go and tell my family that Jesus is real, that he's alive, that he's powerful. Families wanting to go to church as a result and find out who this Jesus is because they've seen that the gospel is powerful. You know what it says in Corinthians 1, verse 6. See, if you've got the slide, are the slides working for me at the back? We had a bit of trouble getting from my Mac onto his PC. If you go on to the next one for me. Thank you. So this is Colossians 1, verse 6. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. Just as it changed your life from the day you first heard it and understood truth about God's wonderful grace. So I'm guessing most of us here in church, we're in that category where this good news, this awesome, wonderful good news about Jesus has changed our lives. But the Bible says, quite clear, black and white, literally, it's going out all over the world and it's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. However, quite often the impression we get in churches in the West is that God's gone on holiday. That God is bearing fruit all around the world as long as it's hot. As long as it's in Africa, as long as it's in Asia, as long as it's in South America, sometimes in North America, and in Australasia. But our part, Europe, the West, God left because it's too cold and it's too much like hard work. That's our interpretation we hear in churches sometimes. But you know what? That's just a lie from the devil. You know, the Bible, Jesus clearly says in John 8, verse 44, the devil is the father of lies. And that is one big fat lie from the devil himself that God isn't working in Oldham. That God isn't working in England, that the gospel isn't bearing fruit in the West. He puts that thought in our heads and in our churches. Just keep your Christianity yourself. Just plod on. You've got your salvation, you've got your hope in eternity, but just keep on going. Just keep going to church. Just keep going. Just keep being nice. The gospel doesn't bear fruit here. It's tough in England. It's tough in the UK. Just keep it to yourself. Just keep that personal faith. That is a lie from the devil. Because the Bible says the gospel's bearing fruit everywhere. It doesn't say the gospel's bearing fruit everywhere, but in 2,000 years, if you're living in the Western Europe, it's not going to bear fruit because it's too much like hard work. You know, and too often with all the stuff that we read in the media, we act as if it's illegal to share our faith. They'll put some hype on about someone who loses their job because they wear a cross, and we act as if we're not allowed to talk about Jesus. We fast forward 20 years as if it's reality that we're not allowed to share our faith. So we think, I can't share my faith with my neighbours. I can't share Jesus at work. I can't share Jesus with my friends and my family. Because what are they going to think? That's a lie from the devil. That's not reality. We're not living in Iran where you're going to get arrested for talking about Jesus. You're free to share your faith. And you know what? We've become nice. You know, Jesus was a nice man. I used to sing. Don't worry, I'm not going to do it now. The guys at the back heard me during the singing. Jesus was a nice man doing good to all. Used to sing in Sunday school. Yes, Jesus was a nice man, but he wasn't just a nice man. He wasn't just a nice guy. He was the nicest person who ever lived. But he wasn't just a nice guy. He was outrageous. He was radical. He lived a life of love that changed people and situations. But as the church, we like being nice. And the fact that our country, as with most others, is struggling financially, and the government state-funded things have been cut, the government now likes the church. Because we do free OAP care. Because we do free food banks. Because we do free youth clubs. Well, they've had to close all their youth clubs because they couldn't fund them. Well, we do free mums and dads tots groups. The government and the council like the church because we do stuff for free that they can no longer do. And we like the fact that the government and the powers that be like us. Because for so long they didn't. We like the fact that they like us being nice. But the danger is we stop doing what the book tells us to do because we just want to be nice. We get settled that someone likes us being nice. And we believe that lie, that we just have to be nice and the whole world will be turned upside down for Jesus. You know, I've never heard a story of anyone becoming a Christian just because someone was nice. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I've never heard someone say this. It was just a flow of glory shining from you as you sat at your desk because you were such a nice person. As you smiled at me and asked me how my weekend was, I could just feel the power of God fall upon me. It was like the heavens opened. All the angels were there because of your smile was so radiant. I suddenly knew I was a sinner. I suddenly knew that Jesus had died for me. I suddenly knew that he was alive. He wanted to live in my heart. He wanted to give me hope. He wanted to give me purpose. He wanted to forgive me, to restore my family, just because you were nice. I've never heard anyone say that. Ever. Have you ever heard anyone say that? Is that true for any of your stories? No one has ever become a Christian just because someone is nice. But we believe that lie. Well, if we're just nice to people, they'll all become Christians. Now, sometimes I meet people that aren't Christians, if I'm honest, who are far nicer than Christians. We should be nice, but there's more to it. It says, if you could put the next slide up for me, at the back, Romans 10. Oh, number 3, you keep going. The next one, that's it. So this is from Romans 10. The message is very close at hand. It's on your lips and in your heart. That message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it's by believing in your heart you're made right with God, and it's by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jews and Gentiles are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what we believe, isn't it? You confess it with your heart, but that's all of us if you're saved. But how can they, those other 200,000 people in Oldham, how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How on earth can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone's nice to them? Oh dear, that's not what it says. Unless someone tells them. And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Well, you might be sat there thinking, verse 15, well, no one sent me. Dorothy hasn't told me to go and talk to my neighbours about Jesus, so I'm all right then. Sorry, someone told you 2,000 years ago when he said, go. Go into all the world and share the good news. You know, it's plain and simple. Unless someone hears the good news, it says it there. You can't argue with the Bible, can you? Unless they hear it, how are they going to believe? You know, there are few occasions where people in Islamic countries where it is illegal to share your faith. Sometimes Muslims have dreams about Jesus because they believe in Jesus, obviously. They just believe he's a prophet. He appears in a dream, says, actually, I'm God, you've got it all wrong. And they give their heart to him. That is like the 0.00001% of conversions. All the rest is people hearing about Jesus. And God doesn't need people to have a dream in the UK, in Oldham, because he's got you. And you're allowed to talk about Jesus. So he doesn't need to send a dream in the night. But you know, we need to start believing and expecting that God is at work. That he's not just at work in here on a Sunday morning, but he's at work out there changing people's lives. We need to lose this attitude. Oh, no one's interested. Oh, it's hard work in Oldham. Oh, it's tough. No one's really interested in Jesus. Why do we bother anyway? Let's just be nice. Let's just do a food bank. Let's just do debt counselling. Let's just do a youth club. Let's just do an OAP luncheon club. Let's just be nice to people. We need to lose that attitude that no one's interested. That people thinking we're strange because God is at work drawing people to him in the craziest ways. You know, we do stuff in Manchester City Centre. If you've ever seen the Jesus wrappers in the red t-shirts that say Jesus Manchester outside Burger King, that's us. Where we wrap, we draw a big crowd, we're doing that next week, draw a big crowd and then share about Jesus to hundreds of people. And we were doing one recently and this guy came up to us as we were setting up. He saw the Jesus banner that we had, saw the music going on, asked me what we were doing. So I told him we were obviously clearly about Jesus, that he's really wants to change your life. He said, oh, well, I'll hang around for a bit. So we did what we were doing and then he came up to me at the end. Said, you're going to think I am absolutely nuts. And I thought, oh no, what's he going to do now? He said, you're going to think I'm really weird, you're going to think I'm really crazy. But can I tell you something? So I'm kind of thinking, okay, I'll just back off a bit, get ready to run. He said, you know, for weeks, Weeks and weeks, I keep seeing the numbers 136 everywhere. I'm like, oh no, is it Da Vinci Code freak or something? So I keep seeing the numbers 136 everywhere. On the buses, I get the number 136 to work. When I'm on the telly, it's on channel 136. When I'm reading this in the paper, it's about 136 people. So I keep seeing numbers 136 everywhere, and I thought I was going crazy. But today, when you were talking in the middle of the songs, and you talked about Jesus and his death on the cross, and the fact he rose from the dead and he lives and he wants to live in our heart, said, it sounds crazy. I felt this funny feeling come all over me, like this warmth, this heat, this peace starting to descend on my heart. Well, we know who that is, don't we? Said, the Holy Spirit is, I felt this peace come on me. And I looked at my phone and I just freaked out because the time was 1:36. And I knew that all these weeks had been drawing me to this point of what my life is about. It's about giving my heart to Jesus. God, is that just freaked me out. I thought, God, that is the craziest way I've ever heard you work in anyone's life. God is at work. We need to just expect it. We need to believe that God is out there this morning working in your neighbor's lives. As you said from that passage, Jesus sees the situation people are in. He has compassion on them. He sees beyond the facade. He sees what's really going on in their heart and their soul. He's working in their hearts. But not too often we get embarrassed, if we're honest. We get that thought, well, I could share about Jesus, I'm in church, I'm pumped. But when it goes out there with your workplace tomorrow morning, or your friends, or your family, or your neighbours, and something comes up in conversation, because you ask God to give you opportunities, he will give you an opportunity. But then you bottle it. I know that I bottle it so often, think, oh, I'm embarrassed. What are they going to think about me talking about Jesus? It's going to be embarrassing, this. But you know what, the scriptures, Matthew 10:32-33, Jesus says this, everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. You know, every time you stand up for Jesus publicly and you talk about Jesus to someone, Jesus himself stands in heaven with that great crowd of witnesses before the Father and says, look at him go, look at Vera go, look at John go, look at Tim go. They're standing up for me. Wow, why would I not want that to happen? Why would I not want God, Jesus, to stand up in front of the Father and say, look at him standing up for me. Because the alternative, Jesus says this, the next verse. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Ow. When I think of all those times I've been too embarrassed to talk about Jesus, that just breaks my heart. That Jesus stands before the Father and denies me. Says, look at Tim, he's been embarrassed again. I gave him an opportunity, and he bottled it. He was too embarrassed to talk about me. He can sing on a Sunday, I'll give my heart to you, you died for me, I'm so thankful, you laid aside your majesty. But he's bottled it again. You know, I don't want God to ever have to do that again for me. I don't want Jesus to stand before the whole of heaven and say, Tim's bottled it again. Because, you know, it's not about sharing church, it's not about sharing, I'm a Christian, because our culture has so much baggage to that. It's about sharing the person of Jesus. It's the person of Jesus that changes lives. It's the person of Jesus that sets people free. Church don't set anyone free. Church is obviously his bride. I believe in the church. That's why I was late this morning at our church in Greenfield. I love the church because it's his bride, but church doesn't do anything. It's Jesus that sets people free. It's Jesus that died on the cross. It's him that we represent. It's Jesus who stands in front of the Father and acknowledges you when you stand up for him. You know what? The name of Jesus is powerful. We've got a big billboard with Jesus on it. If you've ever been on Lees Road out to Greenford where I live, coming back in, there's the Tesco's, there's a big billboard that says Jesus on it.
Saw it last night.
And a guy, he goes to a church, I think East Oldham Methodist, told me his friend had come from Oldham, from Leeds to Oldham to see him. I don't know why he came that way, instead of going on the motorway. And he said to him, I didn't realise, not a Christian, said, I didn't realise that Oldham was a Christian town. He's like, is it? His friend says, yeah, I saw this massive Jesus billboard up. And he was obviously able to share his faith with him. Now, we've got Make Jesus Known stuck on our vans where we're based near Fitton Hill. A single mum just moved from Ashton for every day for 2 weeks. He saw our vans going in and out. He's like, who is this? What is this Jesus guy about? Why do I keep seeing Jesus everywhere? When a cap worker went to see her, help her with her debt problem, and said, oh, would you like me to talk about Jesus? She's like, yeah, I already know all about him. I keep seeing his name everywhere. She gave her heart to God. When we were down in Hereford doing a youth event, again, the van was there. A mum with her teenage daughter was driving past, saw the van, who is Jesus? She came inside and gave her heart to God. Because she was like, I was just struck by the name, who is Jesus? I want to know who he is. Jesus is powerful. His name makes a difference. You know, we're not in retreat. The church is not in retreat in Oldham. Jesus said, I will build my church. He didn't say, you'll build my church for me. He said, I will build my church. He said, the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing, and forceful men and women lay hold of it. Are we forceful men and women, or have we fallen asleep? Do we need a prod this morning to wake up and forcefully advance, joining with Jesus, building his kingdom? You know, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus tells the parable of the sower. I've got a little video, which hopefully this will work, which just outlines what Jesus says. If you go to the video one, you'll have to drag it across. That's all right. Stick that other verse back up for me, where Jesus explains what on earth he's talking about, because his disciples, which I really appreciate, were as dopey as me sometimes. They're like, why are you giving us some farming program? No, because he says, I'm talking about the word of God. If you could put the next slide up for me, that one with Mark 4, the passage. Because Jesus says these four types of responses are what you're going to get in terms of responses as you share the good news. Drags up. Comes. It's on the PowerPoint slide. Keep going. Down, down, down. There we go. So the footpath, those people who hear the message, they're just not bothered. Not interested in Jesus whatsoever. We think that's everyone. We think everyone we're going to share Jesus with, that's going to happen to. He says, no, that's only one out of four. The second one, people who experience it think, oh, I'd love to find out more about Jesus. I've seen that. I'm sure you have. People are, oh yeah, I want to become a Christian. I want to follow Jesus. I'll give my heart to him. A few weeks later, what do you mean I've got to give Jesus? My money's Jesus. He's just joking. What do you mean people are going to call me a Bible basher for being a Christian? What do you mean? And they just disappear because they don't have deep roots. They misunderstood the message. The third one, those are Christians. They don't die. That seed doesn't die, but it's choked up by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, the desire for other things, and no fruit is produced. That seed is still a Christian. They're still a follower of Jesus, but they're not bearing any fruit. The fourth one are those who produce a harvest, 30, 60, 100 fold. Now remember that passage we looked at earlier. The gospel is bearing fruit where? Everywhere. Everywhere round the world. So if we're not seeing the gospel bear fruit, the problem's either with the Bible or it's with me. Now if the Bible's the Bible, the problem can't be with the Bible, can it? Which means, oh dear, the problem's with me. If I'm not seeing the gospel bear fruit, the problem suddenly becomes with me, not with the Bible. Is it that I'm limiting God to his effectiveness and fruitfulness? Remember in John 15, where Jesus talked about pruning, it says his desire is that you and me bear much fruit, because that brings glory to the Father. And it might be a bit close to the wind, but I suggest if we haven't talked about Jesus to anyone, say in the last month, if we haven't seen anyone become a Christian in maybe the last year, we're probably not being very fruitful. Which is a bit of a personal challenge to us thinking, what do you mean? This is nice as a church thing. But actually, if I talked about Jesus in the last month to anyone, if I haven't, I'm not doing what this book tells me to do. If I haven't seen anyone become a Christian in the last year, which category am I in here? Am I reproducing 30, 60, 100 fold? Because that's what I want to be doing. I want to take as many people to heaven with me as I can. Or if I'm being honest, am I in that one verse 19? Is the message of God in my life been crowded out by the worries of this life? Concerned about what other people are going to think of me? What will my neighbours think if they realise I've blown my cover, that I'm full on for Jesus? What will they think of me at work if I start talking about Jesus? What about the desires of wealth? You know, we are in a place where the desire of wealth is everywhere. You think it isn't? Look at why Christian ministries struggle when Christians have so much money in their bank account. When the world is starving to death and Christians have millions and millions of pounds across this country, literally hundreds of millions, probably billions in their bank accounts, just for a rainy day. Does the Bible say keep it just for a rainy day? I don't think so. The desire for other things. I'd maybe suggest, and I know we may not like to hear it sometimes, that provoking, that challenge from God, because the Bible's designed to challenge us, not just to stroke us. If we are not producing fruit, is it because we've let our seed become choked up? But also the second side to this parable, you know, God doesn't condemn us, he convicts us, doesn't he? The devil condemns us, God convicts us to say, well, come on then. Let's do something about it. Let's sow some seeds. Let's share the good news of Jesus with people. And that's the other side of this parable, is that we need to sow seeds. It's not rocket science. If we never sow any seeds by never talking about Jesus, guess what? No one's ever going to become a Christian and follow him. We need to sow seeds. And we've been looking at something we can do in Oldham. I think Dorothy's told some of you about it. How we can reach every single person in Oldham with this amazing message of the person of Jesus. Because do you know it's an amazing message? Do you know the good news is good news? Do you? Yeah. Some of you are sat there like you're asleep. I know it's church, we're not on a funeral. The good news is good news, isn't it? It's amazing that God loved you so much. Even while you're a sinner, he sent his own son to die for you. You know, I've got three kids. Maybe if I saw someone who was about to die, maybe I might step in if it meant I would die and they got saved. Maybe, if I'm honest. Because we can say, I would do the Titanic thing, I'd give up my own life. Reality is, you would think, well, am I going to die for you? I'm not going to see my family again. Maybe I would. There is no way I would send my kids in to die for someone else. I might do it, maybe. I'd never send my kids in to do it. God sent his own son because he loves you that much. That you're forgiven. That you are now a son or a daughter of God himself. You're adopted in his family. Your old way of life is completely forgiven. As far as the east is the west. You're going to spend eternity in paradise where your rotting, decrepit body is going to be a brand new body. Where there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more sickness, no more injustice. We have got good news. The meaning of life and the universe is to have a relationship with God, and God lives in you. Wow! Doesn't get any better than that, does it? We've got an amazing message to share. So we've been looking at how do we share that with every person in Oldham. Not just those few people we've got contact with through Food Bank and CAP, trying to help that to bring Jesus in the conversation, but how do we share Jesus with thousands? So there's another short video clip. We can get this one to work. Sorry about the funny guy. It's me. On a video. Just explaining what the vision is to reach Oldham. Hey, I'm Tim Cook, and I'm the CEO of Make Jesus Known, based here in Oldham. Now, I'm sure you're aware there are some great things happening through the churches in our town. And here at Make Jesus Known, we want to help the Church of Jesus build on what is being done and make the most of the opportunities ahead of us. We've met with some key church leaders to discuss possible ways that we can saturate the whole of our town with the great news of Jesus. We really are stronger together if we will unite as one church in this town. Psalm 133 reminds us that where there is unity, it commands a blessing from God. Jesus said that he has come to seek and save that which is lost. He's seeking the lost in Oldham, and now is the time for us to join together and lift his name high. Designed a series of six leaflets that we want to see go through every single door in Oldham. They're bold and striking designs just like this one that clearly explain the message of Jesus. But imagine if it was more than just a leaflet going through someone's letterbox. Churches with huge banners with the same design all across the town. Buses with adverts on. Posters in people's windows. Beer mats in pubs, car stickers, billboards by the side of the road. We could saturate our town with the great news of Jesus. So the aim is twofold. Firstly, is to build on the great work you are already doing, those that you are reaching to help you bring Jesus into the conversation. And secondly, is to reach those who have no church connection whatsoever, so that they have the good news of Jesus shared with them. And now we need you to play your part. God has placed you in your street and your workplace to reach those around you. And we need your church congregation to sign up to be part of this initiative, so together we can saturate the whole of Oldham with the great news of Jesus. We're going to be launching the initiative right here at Queen Elizabeth Hall on Saturday the 20th of September. It's going to be a great night celebrating all that God is already doing in Oldham, plus a chance to pray into the launch of this movement to saturate our town. So for now, would you continue praying for this move of God? Get your church signed up and book your place in for Saturday the 20th of September.
Imagine leaflets like this once
for 6 months from October through to Easter next year, going through every door in Oldham. And imagine every church. So for October, they'd all have this huge God Knows You poster outside all of the 80 churches in Oldham. And it'll be on buses, and it'll be on billboards, and it'll be in the Oldham Advertiser and the Oldham Chronicle, and there'll be beer mats in pubs, and there'll be posters in people's windows. You won't be able to get away from the fact that Christians are being loud and proud about Jesus. It's about time we blew our cover, and we were loud and proud about who he really is, because time is short. We need to make the most of the opportunities we've got to share him. Because then when your neighbour, when you're having a conversation, oh, did you get one of those yellow leaflets through your door? Oh yeah, that's the one that I saw on the bus the other day. Oh, and I saw it outside all these churches when I was going through Oldham. Oh, and it was in the Oldham Chronicle as well. Oh, and I went for a drink in my local pub and it was on a beer mat. Oh, and it was in posters in all these people's windows. Oh, and it's on that billboard over there. We want to saturate our town. I know that Dorothy and Val, they came to a meeting about this. They were chomping at the bit. They said, Roman Road, we're in. We're going to do this. We're going to get all the other churches in Failsworth in. So keep on praying. I've got some examples of the leaflets out there. There's a sign-up sheet. If you sign up, if you've got email, give us your name and email. We'll obviously send you prayer updates of what's happening as things develop. But book that date in your diary, the 20th of September. We wanted to get the biggest venue. Queen Elizabeth Hall was supposed to be closed from July. We were praying, God, we want to use that venue for you. And then the guy rang me up and said, oh, actually, we're open now till December. So the plan is we'll use that as a launch event in September, and then it's probably going to still be open in Easter. So at the end of this 6 months in Easter, we're going to do a huge outreach event in the Queen Elizabeth Hall for all those people who've been touched by this. So people who get the leaflet, it points them to a website. Well, they can go on the website called itsjesus.com, find out more about what it means to follow Jesus. There'll be details of churches on there with a map, like a Google map, of where the local church is. So sign up for that one. But start praying for your neighbours now. These are going to be going through your neighbours' doors. Your neighbours, your friends, your work colleagues, your family, they are not going to get away from the fact this is going to be all over Oldham. So start praying from now that God would break up that ground. Because you know, it's the same soil of those different kinds of seed. It's just one had weeds in it and one had rocks in it and one didn't. So start praying now that God would break up that soil, remove those stones, remove those weeds, that the hearts would be that heart of understanding. That when they get this through their door, God's already been working, he's been stitching them up to get to that point. They read, wow, God knows me. God actually knows me and loves me, even though he knows what I'm like on the inside. And they would end up becoming a Christian as a result. That's what we want, isn't it? To see the church built up. So if you all have a look at these, if you can sign up out there. And we've also got something for people to respond. We've developed an app called iTruth. We give people these lanyards when they respond, when they want to know about Jesus. It's a free app. They can get on their phones. There's 20-odd videos on there which explain what does it mean to follow Jesus. I want to encourage you this morning. I've got like 100 out there. Take one of these to give to someone. So you can watch it yourself. If you haven't got a smartphone, you can watch on the web the iTruth videos. But give it to someone you know who's a younger person, who when you're having a conversation this week, give them one. You know, I sold a caravan to a guy the other day. He didn't like it, so he said, oh, can I have my money back? Normally, you'd say, tough, you bought it. But I felt the godly thing to do was to go and give him his money back and get the caravan. When I'm there, he's like, why on earth have you done this? Why are you? No one else would do this. That's what we know. I follow Jesus. And for me, I don't care about the money. I've got to do what is right before God. And I believe, you should have seen his face. He was a scouser, young lad, skinhead like me, and his head just went down. I said, I don't know what you know about God, but God loves you as a family. And even if me just helping you out here is a way of you knowing God's blessing, his love for you as a family. You know, we've developed this app. It explains why on earth someone would be as crazy as me to do this. And what it means to follow Jesus. Do you want one of these, mate? And he was like, oh yeah, I'll have one. But obviously he was in there shocked. Who is this crazy guy? I've never experienced anyone like this. Take them. Take one of these and this week be saying, God, who can I give that to? Who can I give a cool little lanyard that goes to a free app where there's videos explaining what it means to follow Jesus? So sign up for the launch event out there for Saturday the 20th of September. Give us your email. Grab one of these to give to someone this week. Let's blow our cover. Don't wait until October to start talking about Jesus when this comes out. Let's start talking about Jesus now. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, if you're sat there thinking, well, this is all well and good, but I don't really know who Jesus is. I don't know this good news in my heart. I don't know that God is living in me. Then come and talk to me or Chris after. We'd love to chat with you. How what it means to really give your heart to Jesus. It's a simple process of saying, God, I want you to be number one in my heart. Like that verse we read, to believe in your heart and say it out loud, God, I'm living for you. So grab one of these afterwards. I'll be hanging around, obviously, in the coffee. But let me just pray as we wrap up. God, thank you so much for your love for us. God, you blow our minds. That you, the creator of the universe, the one who spoke creation into being, would love us so much that you gave your life for us. Maybe even some of us here this morning need to hear that afresh. Those words from God saying to your heart, I love you. Yes, God loves all of us, but you personally in your heart, maybe some of you here need to hear that again. God speaking those words to you to say, I love you. God, thank you. You love us so much that your love is action. When you died on the cross, you rose again. You want to live in our heart. You want to forgive us. God, forgive me. Forgive us when we let our seed be choked up by this life, God. Those weeds of life distract us. Those lies of the enemy. Help us afresh to be your church, forcefully advancing, bearing fruit here in Oldham, joining in where you're already working in people's lives. That we'd leave here this morning expecting you to be working in others' lives, We'd be looking for opportunities to share you. Even today, God, you give each one of us an opportunity as we go back home with our neighbours. Tomorrow as we go to work, an opportunity to share you. That we wouldn't just blow it and say, oh, I went to church. We say, you know, I went to church because I followed Jesus. Do you know Jesus? God, give us the boldness to share you, believing that you are already at work in those people's hearts. And they'll be like, you what? You follow Jesus? That's amazing. We love you, Jesus. Thank you. There's no condemnation in you. You never slap us on the head for messing up. But you cheer us on to keep going, to keep being loud and proud about you. God, let today there be that declaration in heaven by you to the Father that we are standing up for you, that we are sharing you with our neighbours and our friends and our family. We love you, Jesus. And I pray that through this movement of saturating Oldham, that many, many people would come to know you. Those hearts you're already working, people who don't know a Christian, and those that do, would become born again, would be set on fire as your disciples as a result of this initiative, God. That you would get the glory as a result. Amen.
Oh, thank you very much, Tim. I don't think any-